Hello, 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 and welcome in to Section 119, a weekly Aggie podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm joined here by a couple of decent, okay gentlemen who make pretty good co-hosts.
I've been called worse, and I'm Daniel Hansen.
I am Trevor Porath.
And I'm Jaden Johnson. Today we're going to go over all kinds of good Aggie stuff. Some good, some bad. Mostly bad, to be honest. If I'm being real.
A lot of downer week.
A lot of bad stuff happened to the Aggies this week. But we're gonna look forward to. So we're gonna start with Aggie football. As much as I know people are probably sick of even thinking about it.
But hey, they're in luck now, because now they get to spend 270 days without Aggie football.
275. Get it right. We kick off against Wisconsin in 275 days, if you're listening to this on Tuesday when we film it, which you're probably not.
No. So probably like 274 if you're listening to this Wednesday.
Or 273. I mean, maybe you're listening to this before the Wisconsin game, and we're about to kick off in 20 minutes. Good for you. I hope we've made some serious changes by then. Anyway, we're going to talk about Aggie football for a little while. About 20 minutes in, we'll switch over to talk about some Utah State women's basketball. They're on a roll, just came back from a tournament and did really well there. Talk about them for a couple of minutes and move on to the Aggie men's basketball team, who's got a bunch of good stuff coming up.
But didn't do too well in their tournament.
But also did not do too well. So, without further ado, Utah State football, ladies and gentlemen. The season is officially over. It's come, it's gone. I don't want to go on a rant about this today, but the college football season is too short. However, this season, I was just ready for it to be done.
I'm ready for Utah State season to be done. Everything else can go on forever. Let's make that distinction clear.
I was literally, though, I mean, after the game ended on Saturday, I just kind of exhaled and I was like, thank goodness that is over. I can't go another week of Utah State football.
So I was lucky enough to have my sister had a friend that had season tickets. They couldn't make it. Oh. So I got to go down to see the game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Did you have good seats?
They weren't too bad. For $20, they were pretty good. And just like always, they decided to start getting the balloon of hope starting and starting to blow that up for us. We started off good. We got a field goal on the first drive, and then kind of went out a little bit. We did some good stoppage, and all of a sudden we go into halftime. We're down a little bit, you know, close game. But and someone tweeted out, if Wells can just go in there and make some adjustments, we could actually win this game. I saw that and I tweeted out, Wells doesn't make halftime adjustments, and if he does, they're so crappy, the other team already knows what they are.
I think the first thing we need to talk about there, one, is I'm sorry that your sister has season tickets to BYU football.
No, it's not my sister. It's my sister's, she used to nanny for someone, and so that was their tickets, and she just got a hold of them.
Regardless, okay, you have a connection to somebody that gets season tickets to BYU football, and we send our condolences.
Kind of going along with what you said about the first half and how had we made adjustments in the second half, I think it's a game. I really liked what I saw in the first half from the team. Aside from, of course, was it a pick six in the first half? Right at the end.
The fumble with Damian Hobbs.
The fumble. That's
frankly,
what it was.
Frankly, shouldn't have been a fumble.
Not a pick six, yeah. When Damian Hobbs tried to run it up the middle. Yeah, I mean, aside from that, I felt really good about how the team played through the first half. And, you know, if that hadn't happened, we're going into the locker room with a lead at halftime. We're Aggie fans, so we know how that turns out. Going into the lead with a lead at halftime doesn't mean a thing. But, That game to me was proof that we have a good team that just can't figure their crap out. Whether it's coaching, whether it's the players themselves, whether it's mental errors, I don't know, but they just can't figure it out. But you know, there were definitely times in the game where I was like, man, we're rolling. This team looks pretty good.
first half especially, and that's one of the things that really kind of frustrates with me with this team, and I just kind of reviewed the schedule real quick. If you ignore USC, San Diego State, and Boise State, so the three best teams we played, and then also Wyoming, where we just kind of laid an egg as well, we had like a halftime lead in pretty much every single game. I guess also BYU there as well, which we were still close in and possibly could have had if it wasn't for that
close game.
Non-fumble. That, let's not get into that with the refs again. So, I mean, first half, we have been a good team this year. But like you were kind of hinting at, Trevor, there's no halftime adjustments. The players themselves don't come out with fire. And we just lose everything in the second half. So I don't know, again, if that's the players, it's the coach. It's probably both. It's probably everything to do with the team. But does that give you guys any hope that at least we were in pretty much every game at least somewhat competitive?
You know, in a way, it is like a silver lining on the season. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, we're, I don't know, 12 points away from being 7 or 8 win team. Yeah, I don't buy into that crap. You win or you lose, and that's how it is. But I do think it is a little bit of a silver lining that, like, you know, we hung in there and we were competitive with most of the teams that we played. And, like, yeah, we weren't able to finish, but maybe we are a step or two steps, you know, or just a couple of small changes away from being back to a Mountain West contender. Maybe. If things go well this offseason, if what needs to happen happens.
I think even before we make changes, which I think definitely need to come, I think this is one stat, I guess, that kind of gives me optimism for next year. You guys follow Phil Steele a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Best
magazine this year.
Yeah, best preseason magazine that there is, to be honest. One of the big stats he looks at for teams that don't go bowling one year that he thinks will go bowling in the next year is how they do in close games. And he, like, talks about, like, I think it's within, like, one score, their record in those games. Because usually those are kind of a coin flip a lot of the time. And so if a team is really bad in them or really good, it's going to go back to the mean the next year.
I will say Phil Steele was very wrong on quite a bit of things this year, including Utah State being part of his most improved list.
That is true. I mean, nobody's ever going to be perfect with those.
No, I get your point. Yeah. He is very accurate most of the time.
And just kind of looking at Utah State, one score games this year, we're 0-4. I mean, granted, part of that's also because we were just terrible in the second half and we never made adjustments. We were too conservative in close games when we had a lead. But, I mean, I think there's a little bit of something there that could be kind of at least construed into optimism for next year. I mean, even if we're even just 2-2 in those games, 5-7 would feel a whole lot better to me this year than 3-9.
And as you were saying, we were 0-4 in those one-score games, and all four of those we were leading at one point in the game, right?
Air Force, we were leading. Colorado State, we were leading. New Mexico, we were leading and frankly should have won. Nevada, we were leading and frankly should have won. I mean, so yeah, a lot of these are our mistakes as well.
It's not like a one-score game where we have to rally to get up there. It's more of us crapping at the end.
Well, and like I said, like I don't like to sit here and be like, oh, we're so many points away from being a decent team. But like, you do have to realize, taking a step back, you do have to realize we are that Andrew Rodriguez fumble and, that gave them points in the Nevada game. And we are a terrible, terrible call in that New Mexico game away from two more wins.
And then you can make the argument. Does that make you feel
better? No.
With Air Force as well, if Tarver's catch is actually ruled a catch like it should have been because it was.
It doesn't make 14-0. Me feel any better.
I mean, you can't. I mean, judging by every other game, you can't be sure that we'd actually keep that lead. But, I mean, we were dealt a bad hand, and frankly, we weren't a good enough team, I think, to overcome that bad hand.
Yep.
But, I mean, at the same time, if you get a bad hand one year, just by luck, you're probably going to get a little bit better hand next year. Maybe it's enough to get us,
maybe,
I don't know how many more wins. If it make us bowl eligible, it'd be kind of difficult, I think. But
so, Daniel, talk about that poll that you had on Twitter that you retweeted from the Section 119 account about next year's.
Okay, so this is, I was just kind of curious. This was before the game had even ended with BYU, but I just wanted to kind of see where fans were in this. And granted, I don't have enough followers to get a ton of interaction, but 17 votes on both of these polls. I asked people, okay,
follow this man.
Yeah, at the Grand Danny. At the Grand Danny. I need more love. But I asked people how many wins they're expecting USU to have next year, and most people said about 4 to 5, and a couple people said either 0 to 3 or 6 to 7. Nobody said 8 or more. And then I asked
how nobody expects us to win 8 or more next year out of those 17 people.
Nobody does. And then the other one I said, how many wins are you wanting USU to have next year in order for you to actually believe, okay, the program's fine, we're not going back into a dark age or whatever you might think. The majority of people either said 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, and then there's 2 people out of those 17 that said 10 or more. So, I mean, there's an obvious, I guess, disconnect with expectations for this team of what people think we are capable of, what they're wanting the team to accomplish, and what we actually think the team can do. So I don't know if you want to point that just to be like, okay, we got spoiled with Gary Anderson and now we're a little bit unrational with what we're thinking this team's capable of. Or you think of it, everyone can realize there's a ton of talent on this team and that more or less, I mean, granted, nobody on the team is going to be like Bobby Wagner or Robert Turbin from 5 years ago, but most positions that we are either as athletic and capable or even more so than we were at those points.
Well, of this poll, 100% of people said that in order for their faith to be restored in this program, they want 6 or more wins next season, so a bowl-eligible team. 100% people said that. 18% said that they expect that. We actually will. I think that tells you a lot about the state of the program. 18% believe that we're going to be bowl-eligible next season of a limited sample size. And that's kind of become the expectation. For it to be a successful season for Utah State, we have to be a bowl team. This isn't Brent Guy days where a 4 or 5 win season would have felt pretty dang good. We have to be a bowl game, a bowl team.
And that's what 5 straight years of bowls do. And I kind of, after that poll, kind of went into this a little bit to see, like, well, what are the chances that we do become bowl eligible? Here's the schedule right now. I mean, we don't know, like, the dates or anything yet. Road games next year, at Wisconsin, loss. Mm-hmm. At Wake Forest, probably a loss, dependent on
how. It's a good team this year.
Yeah, depending on how well they keep that going next year. At San Jose State, I'd probably give us a good chance for a win. Mm-hmm. UNLV, good chance for a win. Air Force.
Maybe.
Was
that UNLV at home or on the road?
These are all road games right now.
Okay.
So in conference, road games are San Jose State, UNLV, Air Force, and New Mexico. I'd say San Jose State and UNLV are 2 possible wins. At home, we have Idaho State, so that's a 3rd win. Boise State and BYU are probably automatic losses.
Right.
Then Colorado State, Wyoming, and Hawaii, I think depends a lot on, like, coaching. And then
Hawaii's
getting, like, returning starters and stuff like that. So
it's an easier schedule than this year.
It is, but it's still hard to see 6 wins.
Yep.
Yeah, like, if teams are at least similar to what they were this year, it is real difficult to see 6 wins.
I'm with you. They're going to have to pick off some of those teams like the Colorado States and the New Mexicos. Those middle of the Mountain West teams, they're going to have to pick those off.
Yeah. Like, if they have one game, I think, next year where they blow a halftime lead, I mean, it's going to be really tough to overcome that for bowl eligibility. So they can't – so just to put it bluntly, they can't be this team that we saw this year and have any hope for a bowl next year.
Totally agreed. I want to do a little exercise here. 30 seconds each. I want you to I know Matt Wells has taken a lot of heat. Rightfully so. To be honest, whether you think he should be gone or not, he probably deserves a lot of the heat that he's taking. He was simply outcoached in a lot of games this year. I'm going to give you 30 seconds each. Try your very best to defend Matt Wells and give me his case why he should be the coach of this team next year. Can you do it? Are you up to the challenge?
It would cost you over $1 million to get rid of me. I rest my case.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should change the rules here. You can't talk about money.
Okay,
it makes it more challenging. Okay?
That's a lot more challenging.
30 seconds, ready, go, Daniel.
Well, We got handed a really tough schedule this year. A lot of the games, especially out of conference, we kind of scheduled because we thought we'd be a lot better than we were, I think. Let's be honest, kind of got screwed over by officials on several occasions. I did make some mistakes. I'm going to try and learn from them. I mean, he did go 10-4, 9-4, two seasons, so hopefully he has that in him still.
And time.
And, yeah.
Okay. You hit all the points I expected. Trevor, you up to the challenge?
I think I deserve another chance because my quarterback couldn't really do what he needed to because our O-line wasn't fulfilling to what it's supposed to. And so I couldn't call the plays that I really needed to, that I had planned, because my quarterback would get sacked, and so I'd have to hurry up and come up with a new plan and just call a bubble screen, which was a good one, I think. So that's okay. Where I should stay.
All right. 25 seconds, but that's good enough. Good enough. I don't know if I think you guys took all the good points.
Yeah, there's not really. That's pretty much it. I mean, you could bring up the age-old saying of like, oh, he's had a different coordinator each year, but that's malarkey. Every team in America has dealt with turnover.
And especially a school like Utah State.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's Sun Belt, but the one example I go to, Arkansas State's had 4 different coaches in the last 6 years. They've won the Sun Belt in 5 of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it is what it is.
Turn over something you should be dealing with already.
Real quick before we move on, I just have a thing that I'd like to get out. One thing that I don't get is there was one guy on this team this year that has graduated and won't be with us next year. He reminds me a lot of a player that used to play for the Redskins.
I know.
And we never used him.
Yeah.
Dallum Lovett?
Yes. But let me guess, White, we will be back next year.
Wyatt Houston?
Yes.
I agree. I even agree with that Cooley comparison. It's
a testament, I think, to the coaching staff.
Mind-blowing to me.
Being a bit of a failure this year.
Mind-blowing.
Even if you want to talk about like O-line being bad or like secondary being bad or whatever, there's a lot of other teams in the nation that have bad O-lines. I mean, even... Let's go to the NFL. Seattle has probably the worst O-line in the NFL, and yet they're still popular Super Bowl
out there.
Yeah, and they're still a Super Bowl pick. So it's not like they're just like going just skating by. You didn't see like coaching staff try and get Wyatt Houston the ball. Like it does upset me.
I just think Wyatt Houston, he's the most reliable guy we have on the team. I can't recall a single time, and I'm not going to pull up the advanced stats that show me the numbers, but I can't recall a single time that he ever dropped a pass that was thrown to him. I can't. I mean, every time he was targeted, he caught the ball and usually got us yards beyond the catch. It just seems like such a waste that on like a 3rd-and-8 situation, you wouldn't toss the ball his way instead of throwing it to Kennedy Williams.
He did have 18 straight games with a completion.
And yeah, it was probably also 18 straight games with one completion.
Game. Yeah. Yeah, 18 completions in his career.
Yeah, we've got just a few more minutes here with football. But here's kind of where I kind of thought the season went wrong. And again, this is completely watered down into a soundbite for everybody to repeat if they hear this. I think this team was a lot better than 3-9, but I don't think anybody actually had a desire to be better than 3-9. I think the coaching staff was more worried about not being 0-12 that they forgot to try and be at least 6-6. And I think the players, when they saw the coaching staff didn't really trust them to run like plays, to run a good offense, to get the ball to Wyatt Houston like consistently, I think they just kind of gave up on the coaching staff as well. So, I mean, that's, I think, a big problem. If an offseason can fix that, it's going to be difficult. But, I mean, I think that's what really faces Utah State football right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, not luckily, but the fact of the matter is we have 275 days until we kick off in what's that place called? Camp Randall Stadium.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We have 275 days between now and then. So we're going to have a lot more time to criticize this team and to look forward and try and pick some glimmer of hope up from this season. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and dwell on it too much. Y'all are probably sick of Aggie football.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of thinking about it.
So, Trevor, 20 seconds. Give the final thoughts on the 2016 USU football season.
It's time to move on.
Yep. Coach Wells has all kinds of critics right now. Everyone's a critic. Whether this applies to Coach Wells or not, it's time to move on from our scheme, from the way that things are run within the team. Even if you retain Coach Wells, a lot of things need to change. This needs to be looked at as a team that's going to be built from the ground up next season, I believe, because this season is proof that whatever is going on doesn't work.
A quarterback that can actually audible out of plays would help.
Yeah.
It would.
I think next year, more than wins and losses even, what I want to see from the team is just fire. I want to see them try. And frankly, that's kind of why I'm a little upset about Utah State football this year. So let's move on to somebody else that's trying a little bit harder, I think. Women's basketball is at least a glimmer of a bright spot on Aggie athletics right now.
Yeah, the best team we got right now.
Yeah.
I mean, record-wise, at least.
Record-wise, and to be honest, possibly even playing-wise.
So I understand a lot of people probably aren't familiar with Utah State women's basketball, and that's fine, whatever. You know, I highly recommend that you try and get out to some games, especially now that they've stopped having them at like 1 in the afternoon on Sundays and like 11 in the morning on Tuesdays.
Well, the 11 in the morning one was more for a elementary road trip.
And they won that game, cool, but riding on the emotion of six-year-old kids shrieking like demons.
For those of you who don't know much about the team, though, they're kind of past that point in the season, so try and get out to some of their games. They're cheap, fun. Where they're at right now, they're 5-1. Haven't played a conference game yet. They have wins. Huh?
Won't play a conference
game. Yeah, it'll
for a
still
while,
be a little bit. It's the same thing as men's basketball. Pretty much lines up almost exact. They have wins over Westminster, an in-state rivalry there. Montana State, UC Irvine. Their single loss came to Southern Utah. That was really an, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but it kind of had the feel of it. It was kind of an ugly one. They shouldn't have lost, but did. And then this weekend they went to a tournament in Montana where they beat Incarnate Word, and Montana just put the smack down on each of those teams and won the tournament. So this is a pretty good team. This 5-1, I don't know what, like, they're not expected to do well in the conference, but, you know, neither was the volleyball team, and they did all right. I think that they could exceed expectations.
I think they'll exceed expectations because their expectations, frankly, for this team are kind of low. Especially losing, what was her name from last year, the leading scorer?
Funda.
I mean, that's a big loss. Other question right now is, where the hell is Incarnate Word from?
You know, I actually heard this, like, I think it was when they were playing them. I heard, and I don't remember the answer, but I heard it, and it was somewhere that surprised me.
San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, see, isn't that, like, I was thinking like maybe California.
I was kind of thinking Indiana, but I'm not really sure. I don't even know what incarnate even means. But anyways. Wow.
Beats me.
Yeah.
Okay, how about their mascot? Give me their mascot. Don't Google
Cardinals. I already had a Google.
Okay,
so.
Come on. I was going to buy you a McDouble or something if you actually knew that.
Oh, heck no, I don't know that. Anyways, so women's basketball, they haven't had a marquee win, so to speak, I guess.
But they're playing Utah this weekend.
That would be a marquee win.
Utah's always a good women's basketball team. I know that. And so that's going to be a good challenge for them. And they got BYU next week.
Yeah. So this is, I think, where we'll learn a little bit more about women's basketball. But, I mean, it's always nice at the beginning of the season to win these games you're supposed to. Kind of what I noticed this year. I mean, usually we can kind of expect – maybe not men's basketball back in like the glory days of Stu Morrill and whatnot, but these first initial games were kind of a tough test sometimes. Like, they trick us up, especially if it was like against Southern Utah, UVU, or some in-state team that actually wanted to play us. So, I mean, just getting through this stretch where they've only had one loss for a team that doesn't have a ton of expectations, I think that's a great start.
Yep. Well, and, you know, the men's basketball team, I'm sure you remember last year, losing an exhibition to UC, was it
FD978.
Something.
Team, was it San Francisco? UC San Francisco or
no,
something?
No, it was like some five-word name, but I mean.
Yeah.
So,
the men's team has, I think that they're like, this season I felt really good about them after the first few games. We won the games that we're supposed to and did it convincingly. And then we had to go to Cancun. What do you guys think about that road trip? Because I've got some mixed feelings. We looked ugly, obviously. We got killed by Purdue and got killed by Texas Tech. 20-point losses in each of them. But doom and gloom?
I think, you know, those movies where, like, somebody just, like, absolutely gets blacked out drunk. They're asleep on the pavement. And then, like, some guy walks up and, like, just throws, like, a gallon of water in their face. And then they just kind of jolt themselves awake. That's kind of, I think, what happened here. I think... And I was, like, probably one of the worst at this. Like, go through these three games, I'm like, okay, Kobe McCune's going to be, like, the best player ever to come to Utah State. We're going to be, like, 25-5. This team's going to be terrific. And then we kind of go and play at some actual competition. Granted, some really good competition. And
we
just weren't able to have it. I think it's just a good splash in the face to remind definitely myself, but everyone as well, this team has a ton of freshmen, a lot of youth. This was... Like, in Gore Barnaba and Norbert Janicek, this was their first games against, I guess, really good competition because they were even just from junior college even. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a good tempering of expectations, I think.
The way I see it is they start off the season, you know, going and winning against teams that they should win against and blowing teams that are way lower than us, and then teams that are higher than us getting blown out. So I think once we get into more level teams that are in the Mountain West and more, you know, closer to where our level is, I think we'll actually see some closer games, you know, some games that were, you know, single digit games where we can win or lose within the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. The thing is, regardless, sure, we went and we got killed in two games in Mexico, and apparently the team got food poisoning and whatnot, but like I think that just playing those teams is huge for this team.
Totally.
Not like resume wise, all anything like that aside.
Even just resume the experience, wise.
I mean, resume wise too.
If given it, we it got helps strength the schedule and RPI and whatnot. But
I'm just saying, like, for the teams, like the having that experience, we've got four returning starters. We've got, and the rest of the team has never played Division I basketball, so. Getting those guys out, playing the big boys, seeing what it takes. And here's the thing, and I told Daniel this, I think, after the Purdue game. What I really liked is I didn't feel like we just got destroyed. I mean, we lost by 20, but I didn't feel like it was just, man, these guys are on a whole different level than we are.
This wasn't Duke from last year.
When we played Duke last year, that was a really depressing game because I said, man, those guys are so much better than us, so far above us that we've got such a long ways to go. This game I saw, and yeah, it sucks to lose by that much. But after the game, I had the feeling of, you know, we were some really bad mental mistakes. I mean, given a lot of them, we had a lot of bad mental mistakes, did some really stupid fouls, and missed some shots that we should have made. I didn't feel like that we're just on a whole different planet than Purdue and Texas Tech, though.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. I think Purdue was a little bit less so, just because, I mean, Purdue was a bad matchup for us. I mean,
right.
Those two bruisers that they got down low, I mean, that
and
is probably our weakness.
Our weak spot.
But in that game and the Texas Tech game, a lot of the problems I saw were just kind of, frankly, dumb freshman mistakes. I mean, just bad decisions. Like, you have, like, I kind of seen this, I think Rector's not a freshman, but, like, he'll drive and then just, like, do a crossbody, cross-court pass, which, after a while, both Purdue and Texas Tech kind of caught on and just intercepted that pass easily. So I think, I mean, those are correctable mistakes.
Exactly.
I think they're not, like, a death blow. I mean, we're not going to be facing another big, elite big man like that in Purdue. We don't have – there's not that really in the Mountain West. So, I mean, it's hopeful, I think, for conference play and stuff that, frankly, our only problem is we need more experience.
Well, and having that game right at the beginning I think is perfect. Having that tournament where the boys went out, they said, all right, we have a little ways to go. That I think that puts a little bit of fire under the team as well. And seeing this is how the elite teams do it.
Another thing I saw is when we had our starters in, they were staying pretty close to Purdue. But then when we had to actually bring in our bench that didn't have as much...
The younger players.
Didn't have the experience that Purdue's bench had, that's kind of where they pulled off. And then so when we would bring our starters back in, we would gain a little bit or stay where they're at. And it was the same thing in the
Texas Tech game, too.
And then when the bench came in, that's kind of where we would lose it because our bench... Else, you know, it was a lot of freshmen.
Yeah, and the Texas Tech game pretty much changed when Jalen Moore got a second foul. Exactly. We were up 12, and then he had to come out for the half, and then they just kind of tore us apart.
Yep.
So, I mean, it looks at least a little bit encouraging for conference play.
I don't think it's all doom and gloom, and I'm really excited to see us play some Mountain West teams.
I also think, and this is something I've said a couple times before, recruits want to play big teams. Even if you don't get to go to, like, Purdue or Duke or something, they want to play those teams. They want to play in Cameron Indoor. They want to play in Cancun. So it is absolutely no coincidence to me that the best recruiting class we've ever had, which I think this past one that we got is, I don't think it's any coincidence that they started committing after the news came out that we were going to play Duke last year. Yep. And then we come out, we play this Cancun this year, announced for next year that, I don't know what it was, but it's in Hawaii, yeah, the tournament next year, and it had several good teams as well. Miami, I think, was the headliner for it. I mean, that is just huge, even if you don't even pay attention to, like, the learning and experience part of it from the game. Just being able to say, hey, you come play for us, we'll at least take you to Hawaii one time. I mean, granted, that's not the number one priority on a recruits list, but when it comes down to the final couple of decisions between schools, it's a lot better position than we were a couple years ago.
It's better than saying, well, you're going to stick around here for Christmas break and we're going to play against Northwestern Chattanooga College of Faith during the Gosner Classic.
But you'll get free milk.
You'll get free milk. We'll beat them by 60, and it'll really help you.
And you know what it'll help about next year when they go to Hawaii? Probably less likely and less chance of getting food poisoning in Hawaii than there is in Cancun.
Hopefully.
I've seen it at a couple Hard Rock places, though. I didn't expect food poisoning there, but yeah, I guess you know Cancun.
So, looking forward, we've got the Pussycats this week, tomorrow, on Wednesday.
Don't BYU. You wish your girlfriend was hot like me?
Not those Pussycats.
Oh. Bummer.
No, they might be playing at halftime, though. They should.
Good.
Or the national anthem. Going down to play BYU at Vivint Smart Home Arena tomorrow, Wednesday, for those listening on a record. That game is very intriguing to me because after the tournament, after we got back from Cancun, I was like, oh, man, maybe we got our hands full. I don't want to lose to BYU twice in a week. But then BYU went and got crushed at home by Utah Valley.
Giving up, the difference in points, I guess, doesn't matter as much to me as the fact that they gave up 114 points.
Well, and I watched most of the second half, and it really was a blowout. It looks closer than it was. It was a blowout. So, you're probably not super familiar with Utah Valley basketball, but if you're familiar with Ken Pomeroy and his college basketball rankings, they were somewhere around 300. So, not a team that really should have had any business even coming close to BYU. And that's not just to trash on BYU. That's looking forward to this opponent and saying, I think that this is a game we can, should, and will win. Especially on a neutral site.
I think this will be a huge one, too, because while they may not be a good team this year, BYU still looks good on a resume just because people recognize the name.
Exactly.
So, come tournament time, if it is we want either better seeding if we're going to win the conference tournament or whatever, or if we somehow end up on the bubble, which it would be a prayer still. BYU's still going to be probably pretty good in the West Coast Conference. It'll still look like a good win. But this is a good time to play them because it doesn't look like they have their act together.
They're coming off, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing for us, but they're coming off of a two-game losing streak against Valparaiso, who's a good team. That's not a bad loss, but you know they lost to Valparaiso. And then to Utah Valley, which is a terrible loss. So I think that we're going to get their best shot.
One question is, what happened to a Utah State team last time we played a team that got their butts kicked the week before? Going to USC.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to try to not think about the basketball team anywhere near the football team.
We're completely different because we've already matched the football team's win total in five games. So, I mean, there's a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think this will kind of, I guess, give insight to me at least on what kind of a coach that Tim Duryea is going to be. Yep. I think because, I mean, first year, I mean, he's still kind of learning a little bit on like head coaching stuff. Granted, he was an assistant for 15 years or whatever. But, I mean, this is going to be the first real crisis, I think, where this is a lot of his team, where he's leading a lot of it. They bump into a lot of adversity. How do they respond in a big game? It's going to be a good crowd as well, I'm assuming, because, I mean, Utah State versus BYU in Utah, that's going to be a decent showing. I hope so, at least.
So here's what I hope happens. You remember Ethan Telfair from Idaho State, their point guard that got really frustrated and got a technical foul and ended up getting suspended for three games and didn't go on the tournament. I hope that Utah State fans can get at Nick Emery so hard that that exact same thing happens.
I'd love that.
Because let's be honest, that guy's a tool.
Here's what I hope more than that. You guys remember the Malice in the Palace from Ron Artest? Hope that happens.
That won't turn out well for Utah State.
For Utah State, I'm not saying Utah State should do that. Let's have BYU does that.
Like BYU brawls with each other.
No, they go lose the game, and they're so upset with like the herd and everybody else that's there that they just like Emery just like takes off into the stands, but then like somebody just absolutely clocks him and just knocks him out.
Hey, well, we know how good Nick Emery is at punching. If you watched the Utah BYU game last year.
Well, I know that.
That's going to be you.
He was just swinging. It was part of the movement.
Let's still be honest. If you're going to do that in a basketball game, you are a spineless wimp.
He'll be punching you, Daniel.
I don't care. He's a spineless wimp. If he's going to actually pull a cheap shot like that,
no.
If he gets in a fight, he's screwed. Let's be honest.
I hate that team. Anyways.
Even if it wasn't BYU, I'd hate that team.
I hate that team. We really need to win. Utah State. So this is... I think, like, without question to me, this is the toughest stretch of our season coming off those two Cancun games and then BYU. And then following that, we've got Indiana State. Now, Indiana State...
They don't have Larry Bird anymore, so...
They don't have Larry Bird. That, you know, that was a big loss for the team. They bounced back okay without Larry Bird, but it's just not the same team. Okay, Indiana State, they went and they played Stanford and only lost by 3 points in Orlando.
Only lost by two at Ohio State.
Only lost by two at
Iowa State.
At Iowa State, who's another great team. They did lose to Northern Illinois and
Quinnipiac.
Is that a Canadian school? Quinnipiac?
I think it's like, I want to say it's like in Illinois.
Quinnipiac? But, I mean, this is a team that's hung in there with big boys, Stanford and Iowa State. So, I think that they're going to give us all we can handle. At the Spectrum, I think that it's a win for us. But it should be a fun one to watch. I can't wait. So, these next two games should really tell us a lot about this Utah State team. Are we going to bounce back from getting our butts handed to us twice in a row and come back and represent and hold down our home court and go beat an in-state rival in BYU? Or are we going to crumble? If we lose one of these two, I don't know how I feel about this. If we lose them both, I'm going to be utterly disappointed. I think that we win at least Indiana State. But if we come out of this thing 2-0, I'm feeling really good about the team.
I was looking at it before the Cancun Challenge. I thought we had a really good chance at being 9-2 entering conference play. Because I thought we could steal one of either Texas Tech, Purdue, or BYU. I think BYU probably looks a lot more vulnerable now, so I would still bet that to happen. And then, granted, Indiana State at UVU later is going to be a tough game, I think,
sure.
too.
Yeah.
But I think they're still, if they recover from the bad game. Yeah. Okay, fine. 8-3. But if they recover from this game, I think 9-2 is still, I think, possible for the out-of-conference.
Do you know Indiana State's mascot?
Sycamores.
Okay. No McDouble for that one, but...
Fine, whatever. I only know that one because of Larry Bird, though, so I'll be honest.
Yeah. Maybe there's a Larry Bird Jr. coming along. Who knows?
And because of Larry Bird, the Sycamores can grow high.
I was really kind of sad that this is going to be a blackout game, the Indiana State, because I wanted it to be Larry Bird night. I would have worn a Celtics jersey and everything, but...
No, that's why they did it, because they heard you were here.
So. Yeah, no, probably, but...
Okay, so BYU is at Vivint Smart Home Arena, the home of the Utah Jazz, the team who is better than the Celtics.
They're kind of tied right now.
Do you like these neutral site games? I kind of like it. I mean, I know a lot of people hate them, but I kind of like it.
I like neutral site games in general, just because, I mean, it's a better, I guess, test for a team. You can tell without home court advantage who's a better team. I think more easier. But when it comes to like the Beehive Challenge or whatever they're calling this,
yeah,
I would much rather it have be home and home and
that's
stuff.
That's garbage, because that's a home game for Utah. That starts
next year, but
yeah. Yeah, so this isn't part of the Beehive Challenge. This is part of a previous contract, a 1-1-1 home neutral away with BYU. But yeah, next year that Beehive Challenge thing, I don't like that because that's a home game for Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And an away game for the three other teams.
Heck, even for BYU, that's only like 20 minutes
away. It's true. I mean, Utah State gets hit the worst on those. But for Utah State BYU, I'd prefer it to be on a campus because it's so much more exciting, and you have, you know, that game in the Spectrum is nuts. But at the same time, I don't know, there is like something that kind of excites me about going to the Vivint Smart Home Arena, as much as I hate calling it that, the Delta Center, and watching these two teams face off. I think it's going to be fun. Plus, it gives you more of a opportunity to fight BYU fans in the parking lot afterwards.
That is true. I mean, you just clip their van, and then you just speed off onto the freeway. So, I mean, it's a really great setup for that. Hey, man, I might be able to defeat Nick Emery in a fight, but anybody else I probably can't. So I'm just going to get a cheap shot in and dash.
You're right. That dude's like 145.
Yeah.
He's like exactly. 6'4", 145.
I could take him, man.
Dude's a scrawny little. He looks like one of those hairless cats.
Dude, that's the funnest game I've been seeing on Twitter with us playing BYU, is there's just people tweeting out like pictures of them, like football, or even us for football or basketball and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and just be like, this is what this person actually looks like. And you have like their entire team just looks like the Elder's Quorum of like some like LDS church with just a bunch of 40-year-old husbands and stuff. Like,
well, I really missed all that banter during football week. Football rivalry week, because you know Utah State fans aren't going to say a thing when we know we're going to go lose by 20 points, and BYU fans were kind of, I think, taking it a little bit easy on us. But basketball, there's been some good Twitter banter. I love it.
There's been some good
ones. I love it, man. You know, even if we lose, I love it. It's rivalries are so fun.
Yeah, I just want us to win, also, so I don't have to hear them do another I believe that we will win chant. I mean, let's just throw the shade right here. They freaking did that chant while they were up 20 on a 3-18.
It's like, really?
Like,
do you believe
in the fourth quarter? Yeah, in the fourth quarter. With less than 5 minutes to go.
It's one thing for us to do that when we're playing Bristol. Like, we're doing that so they can have the full experience of the Spectrum. But it's a whole other thing to do that in the fourth quarter of a game. You're blowing the team out, and they're frankly garbage. Like, come on, have some respect for yourself at that point. But as BYU, we cannot expect that of them. But
yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait to hear the scoreboard chant with the ginormous scoreboards they have at the Vivint Smart Home Arena,
dude. Except like on the front row, like, you're not even gonna be able to see the scoreboard up there. You're just gonna have to like actually ask, is that a scoreboard? Because we're not gonna
is
see
that
it.
A scoreboard. I don't really know, but I think so. It's really big.
And I bet it is the number that the other
and
ones
I think that we're probably winning.
I kind of kept track myself, so I think so.
So, shameless plug here. I'm going to be writing a recap, and you can check that out on the Statesman website the day after the game if you feel like it.
So he can't cheer because he'll be in press row.
No, that's true. I'm actually really, really sad about that because I've got all kinds of insults I want to unleash.
So you're going
to see them like walking to the tunnel after the game and be like, hey, your mom's a... something, something, you know.
So you're going to be the start of the malice in the palace.
Hey, right? That's a good idea. I don't know. I was talking to this kid at a Utah State basketball game a couple of weeks ago. He was on press row. I think he was helping one of the coaches collect stats or something. And he told me that he got a technical foul at a Logan High basketball game for cheering while on press row. So
yeah, I wouldn't really cheer, I guess.
Just heckle.
We don't want to be like that UNLV game from the 90s where we lost by two because of two technical free throws for a blue water balloon or whatever. But
no.
Anyways.
Go Aggies, man. I'm excited. It was a hope-dampering week. It was really like a lot of negative with not a ton of positive for Utah State Athletics this week. But I've still got a lot of high hopes for the basketball season. And I'm also really glad that there's no more football.
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to wrap it up here. But scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys for the rest of the basketball season as we're kind of getting into more of the meat of the schedule? 10 being like you got to call for a date with like Scarlett Johansson or something. 1 being the football team.
A 10 would not do that justice.
Good point.
I'd have to be with Jano here. 10 would be it's going to be a fun season, I hope.
I have to agree. It's going to be fun, and we'll be here for all of it.
Is Scarlett Johansson going to be at the game?
So, well, I guess
is that what you're telling me?
I can neither confirm nor deny these rumors.
Holy crap.
I actually have a question for Jano. Are you actually going to like want to do these recaps when we play in the Spectrum also, or just so you can sit on press roll there, or?
You know, probably not, and I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity to anyway. I just, you know, it's kind of hard to turn down a cool opportunity like that as much as I do want to cheer. But it's going to be hard to get. I don't think I could give up a front row heckling seat in the Spectrum. However, we are going to be this is news. We are going to be bringing you news. We're going to have a press pass to get into press conferences after basketball games. And we're going to be bringing you some Twitter updates from press conferences. Probably not for every game, but for a lot of the home men's basketball games. So you can watch for that. Another reason to follow us at 119 Sports on Twitter.
Yep. So watch out for that. But that's our time. We're going to be signing out here. And if you're going to go to the BYU game, give them hell.
One quick thing before we leave. Obviously, tomorrow on Wednesday, November 20th, we have the men's basketball, November 30th, men's basketball BYU. Thursday, December 1st, we have women's basketball, 7 p.m. in the Spectrum, and versus Idaho State. And then Saturday, we have men's basketball versus Indiana State at 7 p.m. And then also next Tuesday, men's basketball versus Great Falls at 7 p.m. in the Spectrum.
So a week of basketball.
And like I said, at BYU, give them hell.
Thank you for tuning into Section 119.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Adios. Goodbye.
Give them hell.